67th episode of the 443 podcast. I'm Matt, always joined by my buddy Reese, and we are kind of recording remote today. So if the audio is a little bit off, let us know.
Yeah, my bad, guys. Decided to just completely tear through my ACLs, MCLs, LCLs by literally just injuring it. Not a real injury, guys, but just taking it easy today. Matt, huge weekend of games. I don't even know where to start. I feel like we should start with the big one that happened this weekend in terms of the Manchester Derby.
Oh my goodness.
Kick it off here. We have Manchester City losing to Manchester United late goals, 2-1. Matt, from what your experience was, what were your thoughts on this game?
So my thoughts were in this game is that Amorim's grabbing this team by the scruff of the neck and dragging him to where he wants them to be to the best of the ability he can get out of his team. Because Marcus Rashford and Garnacho were not in this lineup, period. They weren't even on the bench. And there's been stuff swirling on social media about these two at each other's throats kind of thing in like the D-level rumor mills. But I think if there is something to it because of what just happened.
Yeah,
But
no, there's definitely friction there because their lineup got leaked, I guess, early morning Met England time frame. And it was actually accurate by them saying Garnacho and Rashford were not in the squad. And there's a lot of reports saying that it may be Garnacho or Garnacho's brother himself actually leaking the news. So, but hey, it did not matter for the actual game in this circumstance because although it was late goals from United, again, City just lacked conviction, fluidity, clinicalness, and again, Erling Haaland is forgetting to stay humble.
Well, the thing I've noticed about City in the last, because I've watched them in the Champions League recently and some other stuff, is they seem to be 70-minute FC. They seem to be able to hold it together for 70 minutes. And then at that final bit, there's cracks that start to show in a team like Mints or Mites or whatever they're called, or Manchester United can get through those cracks. They have no resolve and they crumble. I don't know what it is because I couldn't see much difference in personnel. So it has to be mentality or something. I don't know what it is.
Definitely a midfield issue and definitely some holes. I feel like a low-key underrated loss for this team is one of our patron saints from last season, our boy Oscar Bob, Matt. They lost him for the season in the very last preseason game, and he was very creative. He was heavily involved in all the games for him. I feel like if Oscar Bob was around, we could see a little bit more creation from them, but not a game-changing sort of title race type of player, but definitely somebody that could have offered something else.
I think, in my opinion, I like both Oscar Bob and Lewis. What was his name? Rico Lewis.
Rico Lewis, yep.
But to me, Oscar Bob is the better of the two players for what contributing to anything close to what Rodri generates.
Yeah. And that's very true. I mean, that is the main
He
reason
may
why.
only be like a one third of a Rodri, but still, that's better than one quarter where we have right now.
Exactly. Into the game itself, City scored in the first half from a good header from Josè Gvardiol, who was slapping his badge, showing passion. I kind of took a little. I was like, do you really have passion for the club? Because this guy was at Leipzig last season. You grew up in Croatia. I mean, come on, man. I was like, did you really? I'm sorry, but it's just a little bit with the way he's been playing this season, and with the way Ake has performed in his stead. I didn't feel like he was offering much, but it's good to see him get on the score sheet and it didn't matter in the end anyways, but did you think the penalty on for Manchester United was valid? I mean, it was
Yeah.
pretty straightforward.
I thought it was. And when I saw Bruno come up, I know Bruno has missed penalties. I've never watched him miss a penalty. I don't know.
He is one of the better penalty takers in the game today for sure. I completely agree.
I know they said he missed him in commentary, but I've never seen Bruno miss a penalty he's gotten. But I don't watch everything Manchester United does.
Credit to Manchester United, Manchester City. The form continues to drop. If they would have won this game, they would have gone level on points with Arsenal. And we were texting back and forth, and I was saying that's a little bit scary. The fact that their City's like managed to be level on points with Arsenal, and they felt like they've lost like 10 games in a row when they really, in reality, haven't.
Because it's been cup competitions and the Champions League, right?
Yeah,
That's a
exactly.
struggle.
But yeah, credit to United. This is a huge win for Amorim. I'd say it's first big win of the season.
Let's talk about the Kyle Walker's yellow before we go.
Yeah.
So I was kind of starting to do chores at this point because the game was starting to kind of get boring, and I was in the room, but I missed the initial heads colliding thing, and all I saw was that Walker was on the ground, and I know he's kind of a
A shit house.
drama queen. I'm gonna say drama queen or
Gotcha.
drama E person, but man, when I saw the replay, I couldn't believe. I was just like, man, Huizen should have knocked you, kicked you in the balls in your towel.
What I'm saying, dude, and the fact that Kyle Walker, this kind of goes back to like what proper footy was back in the 90s, the early 2000s, when Roy Keane would step on a man's knee and nobody would care and he'd walk away with the yellow. Obviously, times have changed, but if I'm Kyle Walker, dude, I'm a little bit embarrassed after that, man. You're trying to stand up for your club. It's a Manchester Derby. For you to flop after a very, very, not even a headbutt, like that's soft, man. It's truly soft to me.
But yeah, that was kind of indicative because then once that happened, then the momentum shifted United's way. Walker
Exactly.
was on the yellow and they kind of didn't exploit him 100%, but they exploited the shakiness of the team.
Exactly. Credit to United. Into the next game here. Kicking it back to Saturday. We have two huge title implication games here. We have Arsenal at home drawing Everton 0-0. Matt, I was not able to watch this game as I'll be talking more about the next game here, but just give me your overall thoughts. What went wrong? Where and sort of why was Dyche having another masterclass in his type of football?
So I started watching the pregame on this. And right when I turned it on, Rebecca Lowe makes a joke that says this is going to be the set piece derby. And she was kind of right. But what really annoyed me about that is that the media doesn't seem to talk about how Arsenal had to do these set pieces sometimes because Everton had nine men in defense plus the keeper and then Calvert-Lewin just sitting back waiting for them to exploit the stretched Arsenal line. Having to send everybody forward except for Gabriel or Saliba to try and break down their defense because they didn't come to play. When you watch Arsenal play in the Champions League the last two games, Lisbon had to beat Arsenal to secure Lisbon and Monaco had to come out and play Arsenal because they had to win. When teams come and just sit in, it's like, yeah, of course we have to do the set pieces because we're in their half so much. We're banging shots at their goal and they're going, setting us up for corners. Of course, we're going to have more corners because Everton didn't come to play. And I don't
Exactly.
like how the media doesn't highlight that. They just want to go, oh, look at Stoke 2.5 or whatever. And I'm just like they actually said that on NBC. They basically said, oh, they've turned into Stoke. And it's like, they've turned into
That's crazy.
Stoke because they spend 60% of the game in the other team's half and they just keep throwing balls at the net and nothing could go in, so it keeps on going out for corners.
Exactly. And when you look at, the actual stats, everything you say reflected that. Everton had two shots the entire game, none on target. They had one decor opportunity that I remember from the highlights where I think Saliba slid in and blocked it away. That was the only opportunity that I noticed from Everton. So,
77% possession for Arsenal.
yeah.
I don't have my XG stats like I normally do. The website's not working. But 13 shots, five on target, 77% per possession. Everton, two shots, none on target, 23% possession. Arsenal, almost 700 passes to Everton's 200. It's bonkers, man. It's like they did the same thing that Fulham did, but Fulham actually plays to get something out of it. Everton didn't come to get anything out of this game. They didn't do anything.
Yeah, and I think with one of the best types of defensive setups in Premier League football from Sean Dyche, it was very clear that they came in with the mindset that we are not going to play for a win, we are going to play for a
A
draw
draw.
here. And I didn't see anything from the XG, by the way. Arsenal 1.58, XG for Everton 0.17 off the two shots.
But into actually what we saw with the Arsenal was Martinelli and Havertz weren't firing. Saka was doing his best like he always does. The left side was dead. We conceded the center when we were on when the game was in the middle of the pitch.
Do you think right now what Martinelli is going through is more of a blip or something that we've been seeing from him the last several running
So,
games?
the philosopher Clive Palmer has said that Martinelli has dematured in recent years as a player because he came in more mature than his years. And now he's playing like the player we probably would have gotten had he come in and acted his age.
Right.
But I hope it's just a blip because I think there is a good player in there. I don't know what's going on with Jesus and Martinelli, Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah.
Both of them just seem to be off their game. We're probably not going to see Sterling again unless Saka goes down with a heavy injury until the cup game this week against Crystal Palace, the Carabao. But honestly, my dad and me were both saying this was just a really rough game to watch from Arsenal's perspective. It did come back to that sterile possession they have, but they actually tried to bang on Everton's door a lot, but nothing broke through.
Yeah, that's something Chelsea play Everton, not the next game, but the game after, and I have full confidence that Dyche is going to come out with that exact same setup. So maybe having the same similar type of conversation in a few games here. Into credit to I guess both sides in that game. Into the next game here, guys. We have Liverpool at home drawing Fulham 2-2. This game was chaos, Matt. Pereira gets on the score sheet early in the 11th minute, and Andy Robertson gets sent off in the 17th minute shortly after. Now, excuse me, there was some debates that Van Dijk could have. It was basically one of those last man type of fouls, which is why Robertson got the red card. But there was some sort of dispute that Van Dijk maybe could have gotten to it, or at least been in line to maybe not make it a last man opportunity. I did think it was a red. I just think at the time that it happened, it may have, felt a little bit wrong for Liverpool fans. But Matt, from what you've seen and heard about this game, what were your thoughts on it?
So I didn't get to watch this game. Honestly, most of my stuff came from flipping through my phone while I was watching the Arsenal game when you would send me updates. Like you're like, oh, red. My dad would be like, oh, Fulham scored. And he'd be like, 1-1, this game's crazy. And I'm just like, you both my dad was doing the split screen for the first time on NBC and or Peacock, and he was watching this game and Arsenal at the same time, and he was saying it was night and day. This was a game. Arsenal was just somebody trying not to get their face punched in.
Yeah, with Liv and what's crazy is, Matt, once the second half came on, I mean, it literally felt like Fulham was playing with 10 men versus Liverpool. That's how dominant Liverpool were in the second half, especially with Cody Gakpo getting on the score sheet super early into the second half. And then Diego Jota actually burying the winner after Mooney's equalized. But I thought Marco Silva coached a good game and did what he could do. They maybe should have sat back and sat in, kind of like how Everton did, especially after maybe going one up, or especially after they go 2-1 up, maybe just holding it down. But they were still willing to counter.
Question. So Fulham have played two of the top four teams right now and gotten draws back to back. We'll look into who they play next, but do you think this is a good showing, even if they're both draws, to go to Arsenal? And was this at Liverpool or in Fulham?
This was at Liverpool, Matt.
So to go to the Emirates and shoot, I'm losing the name. What's our Liverpool's ground called?
Anfield. Anfield.
Anfield, yeah. To go into those two stadiums, come out with 2 points. Do you think Fulham and Marco Silva are doing a good job?
For sure, and not even just that, Matt. They. I know it's maybe not as important, as exciting, maybe as it once was last season. But Fulham went to Spurs this month too, and came away with the draw. So, you're talking about 3 points all aways, and
Off the top
also,
six.
yeah, and then they've also beaten
Or the
Brighton
big
this
six,
month.
sorry.
Fulham have not lost in December. They've beaten Brighton as well. So this has been a team that's I had in the relegation zone because I didn't think that, they properly replaced Paulinho in the midfield. But dude, they've definitely turned a corner with
I
Marco Silva.
remember right, I had him in 15th, so I'm way off too, but I knew they weren't going down.
Yeah, right now they're in eighth place with 24 points, 4 points off of fourth place. So, this is heating up in the top four race. But credit to Fulham and Liverpool. It was an outstanding game. Any final thought before we move on, then?
No, I mean, good for job for Fulham. I mean, they need these points because I think they're too big a club to be in relegation zone, and this is where you expect them to be. Not impressing, but impressing kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not
And what I
being
will
impressive, but
say,
impressing, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
yeah, I mean, and when you're playing in Anfield and Liverpool have 10 men, you'd think that this is something that Fulham should be walking away with points with. But Liverpool, and they may have not gotten the win, but I think this is a huge step for Arne Slot being 10 men down and able to not only score one but two goals in the second half to actually walk away with the draw with 10 men. That's a little scary, man. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, it's interesting to see, like, because the Arsenal fans have gone quiet on the whole referees are against this thing. The calls haven't been going against us recently in the last about six games,
Yeah.
but the calls have been going against other teams, and we don't see them complaining. But it's not as focused a beam, I think, for Liverpool and Man City. But the bad calls or the too harsh a call for what happened, like in this game, I think have. It can be a red, but I think in this stage of the game, I would have given a yellow and him a quick talking to. Like,
That's fair.
we've been like, hey, mate, you do anything, you're gonna, that's yellow, you're getting a yellow.
Into the next game here, the last game of our big recap, and before we swiftly get through the next games here, we have Chelsea at home beating Brentford 2-1. Matt, this was a very shaky start from Chelsea. I'd also say Brentford set up very organized. And do you hear that by chance, Matt?
I hear a little bit of something in the background.
Sorry, my cat is on the scratcher right now. But this was a sort of a shaky start from Chelsea because Brentford were sort of set up in a low block, and they had three center backs as well. So Chelsea sort of had to make an adjustment to play through the middle, look for crosses, and this was a nil-nil game until the 43rd minute when Madueke sent it across to Cucurella for the first goal of the game, and also his first goal for Chelsea. Matt, from what you've seen, heard about this game, what were your thoughts on it?
Dude, the numbers are crazy. 26 shots for Chelsea, 8 on target, 62% possession, 500 passes to Brentford's 8, not, sorry, 9 shots, 4 on target, 38% possession, 300 passes, 318. That's bonkers, man.
I'm
Like,
not this. I will say though, like the stats definitely, made it look like Chelsea was dominant, but this was a very close contested game. When Brentford, I'd say Brentford dominated the game, not dominated, but Brentford definitely controlled the game for the last 20, 25 minutes, and that's where they capitalized with a late goal from Mbeumo to possibly, equalize in the late last minutes. But this has been Chelsea's boogeyman. They haven't beaten them since 2021, so this was something that's a huge result for Chelsea. And I'm happy to see that Nico Jackson got on the score sheet because it definitely, Matt, was not his day, dude. He had a missed sitter. He had a few missed passes to Noni Madueke for a few through balls, but definitely something that you can learn from and move on from as well.
so you ready to jump into some of the fast games? Because honestly, I didn't get to watch this game because I was watching the Spurs Southampton bludgeoning going on over on the other channel. So we had some perspective on that. But
Let's
man.
do it. Into the first game of the Saturday slate, we have Newcastle beating the dog piss out of Leicester 4-0. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
Oh, dude, like what's Van Nistelrooy started out so good, and now
Yep.
it's just this mauling. It's just kind of a blemish on them trying to come back.
And this may have just been sort of like a stylistic type of fight for them, for Leicester. I don't think the style that they play or what Van Nistelrooy is trying to play isn't on par with the way Newcastle play. So yeah, I think with that, this was just dominant, and I thought Bruno Guimarães was very good today. But credit to Newcastle. Into the next game, shout out to Mama Lloyd. We have
He was
Ipswich
hyped.
travel. Yeah, we have Ipswich traveling to Wolverhampton and beating Wolves 2-1. Also chopping Gary O'Neill from the block. He is now a free agent as Wolves have sacked him the night after. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
So,
Reaction to Gary O'Neill.
well, the reaction to Gary O'Neill, because I remember I was saying, I think a week or two ago, that they should sack him now before, because things are not looking good,
Yeah.
so they can still have a better shot at getting a target of theirs. Because of all the teams that are really in need to fix things.
Right.
But I just didn't know what happened. You just go something, you sent me a text and I was just like, they sacked him? And they're like, I thought you wanted this. I was like, no, I was trying to clarify what exactly happened.
Yeah, so Gary O'Neill basically got sacked, and right now Wolves are at 9 points now 3 points behind Ipswich after that win. And Leicester has 14 points, who's currently out of the relegation zone. So definitely Wolves are not out of it. Excuse me. There is, I sent you, so let me back up here. There has been reports that Wolves, from David Ornstein, that Wolves are looking to appoint Vitor Pereira, who is the Al Shabab head coach. So he's Portuguese, which is
Is that
basically the
out of the
main
Saudi
one.
League?
Out of the Saudi
Wow,
League.
I
He's
sounded
Portuguese.
so American right there. What was he out them Saudi League? Yeah,
Saudis. I don't know, man. But yeah, but what was did Mama Lloyd talk to you about this game at all?
she had a brief conversation with me on it. She was so happy. This is the first game they've won since she got her scarf. I think
That's
it's her
awesome.
second win of the season.
That's sick, man. I appreciate that we have more fans around us now. You know what I'm saying? Not just the standard fan type
My
thing.
dad flips between Ipswich and Arsenal because he likes Arsenal, but he's seen more Ipswich games than he has Arsenal games because we lived right by Ipswich when we were over there.
Yeah.
Part of the time we were there.
I do think what costed O'Neal's job is what happened after the game more than what happened during the game. So I nearly was basically the Wolves players were basically fighting each other, and Ipswich staff members were
Yeah, I saw that.
Mateus Cunha pulled the glasses off like an Ipswich staff member, and he was an old guy. I felt so sad for him, you know.
Dude, it was like watching you fighting my dad. I was
It's just something you don't do, man, you
just
know?
trying to think of like a young person I know. It was like watching Mari fight my dad.
Yeah, that's a better one, because you know I'm like 1,000, you know, 1,000 times older than the average man.
Yeah.
Credit
You
to
should be on your years.
credit to Ipswich. Into the next game here, guys. We have Forest doing a crazy turnaround, defeating Aston Villa 2-1. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
Dude, what? I can't believe Nottingham got the win over Unai. We were so hoping for a good evening.
Yes,
It
dude.
was robbed from us.
Literally minutes away from it too. Like in terms of John Duran, who has now benched Ollie Watkins, who has basically taken over the starting spot for Aston Villa, got on the score sheet with a beautiful header, and then Milinkovic also with a header, and Elanga in the 93rd minute with a easy tap in from the cross from Ryan Yates to certify the win. Matt, this Forest team is resilient, man. I didn't think they had it in them to make a turnaround like this against a quality team like Villa. But man, they showed that they can do it in more ways than just Chris Wood scoring for him.
Well, and what's funny is, so a lot of Spurs media was trying to paint Edu leaving to go to this Nottingham Forest project that includes like three other teams. And as a as like, oh, Arsenal couldn't match his wages. I think Edu wanted to do what Jurgen Klopp was doing. And as we're seeing, like, he's going to be managing the Greek champions, a team that's probably going to be in a European place this year if things hold out of England. And I don't know the other teams, but it's like it was a major promotion that Arsenal couldn't provide him. And I hope he does good. I just hope that Arsenal finishes above Forest.
This point, I mean, and I do think they will. I don't think Forest are going to sustain a top four place for the entirety of the season. I mean, right
Oh, I
now,
just meant like Conference League or Europa. I
I
didn't
got
mean champions, my bad.
gotcha. Okay, but yeah, and then for me, you know. I like what Villa did in the midfield with their setup by sort of moving away from the Amadou Onana start, who came on off the bench. And they looked good with Boubacar Kamara and Yuri Tielemans. But once Onana came on, it just kind of all fell apart. So I'm really starting to think that Onana may be the issue in this Villa lineup, at least since he started, you know. And I feel like he may just need some time off the pitch, maybe, you know, just to be a substitute or on the bench just to get his feet back under him. But credit to Forest into the Sunday slate. Another it's actually a decent weekend for you, Matt, outside of the Arsenal draw here, but
That's what I'm saying.
Arsenal traveling to Brighton, defeating them 3-1,
You
all
mean
goals.
Palace traveling to Brighton?
Palace traveling to Brighton, beating them 3-1, All goals by Palace players, actually. Brighton did not score any of their goals. Own goal from Mark
Dude, that
Gay.
was such a letdown after they just, because this is their big rival, Crystal Palace.
Right.
They may be in London, but they don't really have London derbies like Brentford, Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, West Ham, Tottenham, West Ham, Chelsea. They don't
Yeah.
have a real London rival. This is their biggest rival. And to go in there and then score all four goals, but that 3-0 score line really looked like they were dominant. And they were like, it was kind of that own goal really kind of irked me, because it was just like you had your statement win, because nobody's going to remember that it was an own goal, you know, by
Right.
the end of the season. It's just going to remember, if they remember at all, it's going to be 3-1.
I am happy that Palace got this result, though, in terms of them being in the table form. This now moves them into 16 points, so they're about over halfway of that 30-point threshold of clearing relegation. So,
Hey man, we've been looking for a real good Glasnier hello
yeah,
this season, and we finally got one.
that's what I was going to mention that. I was thinking about it earlier today after watching the highlights. It seems like Palace are starting to settle into their form. And it's actually been due to the adjustments that Glasner has made. He sort of alternated his formation to fit the stability of this team.
Well, he started in such a hole last year that, and what I noticed too last season was basically the only three teams were really trying at the end of the season. It was
Yeah.
Arsenal, Manchester City, and Crystal Palace. All the other teams had pretty much given up. They were
Right.
just kind of where they were. And Luton Town kind of would try to get out of the relegation, but they were having a really hard fight of it. But yeah, they just had picked the right time to kick on last year. And I think a lot of teams just didn't give a crap anymore, because the table was pretty much solidified other than them moving around in Arsenal City.
Brighton right now has yet to get 3 points in the month of December. They play West Ham next Saturday, but they do travel to the London Stadium for it. So, I want to see what Hertzler does or alternates to see how they can get out of this rut. Credit to Palace. Into the final game of the Sunday slate, we have Tottenham Hotspur traveling to the second stadium now of Tottenham Hotspur, Southampton, and the crap out of them 5-0. Matt, you watch this game. Talk to me.
So I went to go grab some lunch and do a couple quick errands, and my lunch took a little longer than expected. I'm on my way home as the game starts,
Oh, yeah.
and I get a text from you while I'm at a stoplight going, "Already?" or something. And I asked you a question, and I look at the score, and it's already with under 2 minutes, it's 1-0. So I get home at 13 minutes into the game. It's now 2-0. As I sit down, 13:30, the third goal goes in, and then the fourth goal goes in. It's 4-0 before even halftime, and the stadium's already half empty. The stadium was like probably 8/10 empty on the Southampton side by the end of the game, and they only scored one goal in the second half, but it was just a pummeling.
Yeah, when I got to halftime of the Chelsea game, Rebecca Lowe sort of previewed like the before they went to commercial break, so like up next, why have so many Tottenham Southampton fans have already left the stadium, and it just showed like the view outside of the stadium, and man, it was a flood of people just leaving. It's
Well,
almost sad,
an English winter night, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I'd rather, if I had gone to that game and I had a choice of going to the pub or going back to my hotel room early, I would have gone, you know, if I hadn't paid too much money for the ticket.
And I think with with where Southampton are at, it was always tough for them to get out of the relegation zone to begin with. I did see that their manager went to the tunnel before halftime even ended, which was a big talking point. Definitely something you don't want to see. So I'm interested to see what Southampton do next going forward.
Well, did you see that? You didn't watch the game, but they had signs up telling the manager to get out of their club.
Yeah, because there's a thing, man. Like, there's been something. There's like a almost like a debate, like with these types of managers who want to show progressive football. You know how like Vincent Kompany, got Burnley relegated, but he got the job at Bayern. You have Postecoglou at Spurs now with his sort of football. Do you think that there is to be a conversation to be had that with these types of managers who play this type of football are more so trying to just increase their own rep or give them more certification that they can do this at a bigger club without, with sort of sacrificing the own t their own team. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So we're kind of running out of time. We're gonna have to go to a break here in the next 5 minutes because we got to restart this because of the programmer reason. But to answer your question, it's a yes and a no. We saw some Sheffield United last year, like you said, with Vincent Kompany, didn't give up. Or no, was it? No, it was Burnley, and didn't give up his playing style. And ultimately, they lost. I think you have to. Sometimes might have to do a little bit of Arteta ball and just give up and start banging in goals from corners and going fully defensive. But so we're gonna go on a brief break and we'll pick right back up. All right, guys, sorry about that. We were having a Zoom was telling us we had to cut it short and restart again. So you're ready to click off with the next week's predictions, Christmas week.
Let's do it, Matt. What's the first game up?
Manchester City travel to Unai Emery's Aston Villa.
Dude, this might be a good evening.
I think it might be a good evening for 70-minute FC.
This
I'm
is
going to predict a 2-1 Aston Villa win.
and this is at Aston Villa. Dude, this is a really tough game to call. I am going to go with a do is there Champions League this week or no?
No, it's the FA or the Carabao Cup, I believe.
Okay. Then I will go with a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, it's Carabao Cup because Arsenal plays Crystal Palace on Wednesday and on Saturday.
Crystal Palace already? That's kind of tough, man. Crystal Palace midweek is a little tough.
But then they play them on the weekend, so you don't want to burn up all your.
Oh, yeah. Can't show all your cards.
All right, sorry, I'm getting back to the games. I wanted to check something, make sure I was right. Okay, so next up we have Brighton traveling to West Ham.
It depends on how West Ham play tomorrow. Who are they playing tomorrow? Oh, it's gonna bother me. Let me double check here
The
real quick.
Cherries.
The Cherries, yeah. So I think this is a good tell because Brighton play a very similar style of football to Bournemouth. But I am gonna go with a Brighton win here. I'm gonna go 2-0.
Okay, I'm gonna go 2-1 in this one again, to Brighton. I just don't know because, like, with the Wolves firing Gary O'Neill and possibly picking up their target from the Saudi League, it kind of says that West Ham can probably have a pick of whoever they want. That's
Yeah.
for their managers because they probably weren't going to pick that guy anyway.
Yeah, I mean, now with the one of the first sort of coaching carousel teams making the first move, do you see if Lopetegui gets sacked that like Gary O'Neill is a possible successor? Or do you think Gary O'Neill should maybe look towards the level that he was
Ooh.
coaching at? Because this is would be a step up for him.
I think it's two steps because West Ham's a funny team.
Yeah.
Not funny, haha, but it's like they're not a top six and there aren't that many classic mid-table teams left.
Yeah, they're like a top 10. They're like a top 10 team, basically. Consistently, Wolves has usually been sort of that 15 to 12 range. So I don't think this is a good fit for Gary O'Neill, especially with the type of players. But hey, I mean, if Gary O'Neill is selected for a job like this, I think it would not be a bad hire at all. But for now, I am going to go with the Brighton 2-0 win.
All right, next we have Newcastle traveling down to Ipswich Town. I'm a little worried for my mom's mental health next weekend.
Yeah, Kieran McKenna is going to play his style of football regardless, but Newcastle neutralized the hell out of this style of football. So I'm going to go with 3-0 to Newcastle.
I'm going to go for another 4-0-er
Yeah, can't blame you.
after this weekend. All right, next up we have Nottingham Forest traveling to the Bees of Brentford to West London.
This is going to be a fun game. I don't know how Brentford are going to set up in this game, especially with Carabao midweek, from playing on a Sunday. But man, who do you have in this one? Because I'm a little stumped,
So if
honestly.
you just told me, I forgot they play midweek. I was thinking both these teams didn't play. I think I'm gonna have to go with Forest then. I was gonna go originally at Brentford for a 3-2, but
Yeah.
I'm gonna flip it and go Nottingham Forest 3-2.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you in terms of a Forest win, just because of the quality. They have more depth in the squad. I'm going to go with a 2-1 Forest win.
Okay. All right. So we're going to Arsenal travel to Crystal Palace. I think the midweek game is the reverse fixture, Crystal Palace travel to Arsenal. But in this one, depending on how, this is such a weird game because they literally play each other like 3 days
Yeah.
before this.
There's going
And
to be, it might kick off in the Sunday, in the weekend game because of what happened in the Carabao Cup, possibly. We'll
yeah.
see.
So I'm going to be honest with you, just forgetting that game exists is the only way I can really predict this one. I'm just going to say this is neither of these teams are playing. I'm going to put that in a bubble as its own continuity, like all the people always do on the TV, where it's like, oh, Champions League and caps don't matter until they do matter.
Yep.
I'm going to predict an Arsenal 1, Crystal Palace 1.
Really? A
Yeah.
draw. I can see a scenario where that does happen because Palace, like I said, they've sort of altered their setup. They're going with like they have three center backs and then they have a center back playing midfield for them. So they're a very tall, physical team. And if
Ready
you
to go into
guys
a back four if need be, or a three plus a sweeper.
Exactly. So, and I think with that, you guys have sort of invested a lot into your size and physicality. You know, with for example, Calafiori and Declan
Mourinho.
Rice
And Mourinho.
and Marino. Exactly. So, that's definitely a possibility. But I do think you guys are going to show more quality. And I think this is a must-win for you guys to get back on
It
track. I'm
is.
going to go with a 2-0 Arsenal win.
Okay. Okay, so next up, then we have Chelsea travel to Everton to the flooded stadium,
After
the Florence in Liverpool,
Stone Cold Sean Dyche on a
like
Christmas night.
Venice in Liverpool. I just imagine them like people getting shipped to their seats on little gondolas. What
I
do you
don't know.
got in this game, man? This is your team.
After what I saw, or from what I've heard and seen from the Arsenal game, I'm very worried, man. You know, we are going to see a very similar setup, I'd say. Than whatever Everton did first Arsenal, so I think it's going to be close. I'm only going to pick a Chelsea win by one. I'm going to have a 1-0 win, but Everton, I've also been sort of a boogie team for this Chelsea side with Pickford turning into prime David Casillas or freaking Buffon. So,
Oh, this would be the perfect time for us to talk about our little joke we had on the text.
do it. Yep, go
Yeah, Jordan Pickford is the Jamie Vardy of keepers, man. He was
ahead.
chugging a medium Red Bull, not the tiny can, not the giant can, the middle can. He chugged one right before he went on the pitch this weekend.
That's what I got respect for, man. Proper Brit players like that, mate.
Dude, like he looks like he would come straight out of a steel mill and then run on to play keeper after his shift's done.
Speaking of goalkeepers, I did want to shout out Emi Martinez in the Villa game. He had like the save of the season, basically a clearance right off the line. It was great. But
Well, he
Matt, who do
needed
you
it
have?
after what happened in Champions League, man. He, oh, he pissed in his bed there, man.
Exactly. Matt, who do you
But
have in
I'm going with my heart instead of my head. My head tells me it's going to be 2-0 to Chelsea. My heart wants it to be 1-1.
There you go. 1-1 draw for the Blues.
Okay, next up, Bournemouth is traveling to the Theater of Dreams.
Who do you have in this one?
This is hard because I like what Amarin's like. I agree with the Robbies this weekend. Like, I like that Amarin's like basically just going, nobody's better than anyone here. If you don't get in line, sit down and shut up.
Exactly. It's old school.
Yeah. If the Manchester United that showed up this weekend shows up, I'm thinking it's going to be another 2-1 to Manchester United. To Manchester United.
And Matt, let me set the stage for you. It's time I step in now, okay?
All right. You gonna
You
do another
tell.
horrible British accent?
No. Is this game on a Saturday? Is this the last game of the
This
Saturday
is
slate?
Sunday, 7 a.m.
Okay. It's Sunday. Iraola, the Cherry Prince, along with the cherry on his badge, red and black, with the squad, Semenyo behind him, Kluivert behind him, Tavernier behind him, the squad's behind him. They're walking into the Field of Dreams. They're walking into Old Stafford or Old Trafford or Old Trafford. They're
It's all.
walking in. Thank you. They're walking into the Glazer territory, the Ineos territory, and they're walking away with 3 points. You know why, Matt? Do you
Yeah.
want to know why, Matt?
No, because the Cherry Prince wants to get that job next.
He is taking the throne. He's coming for throats. He's pissed that he wasn't even considered by the United Board. 3-0 to the Bournemouth Cherries.
Wow. I hope your prediction comes true, man. Okay, next up, we have Southampton. Battered, bruised, beaten Southampton travel to one of the hottest teams in the league to West London to face Fulham on the river. Oh, I'm a little worried. I think Fulham has been dealing with teams above them, and it's been like judo matches. Now they have somebody they can beat up. I'm worried it can be another like 3 or 4 nil to Fulham.
The only thing that would prevent me from saying that is if they get a new manager in by the weekend. Usually there's that sort of new manager bounce. Maybe they play a low block and play totally different than from what we've seen. But I'm going to go off the Southampton that we've seen. I'm going to go with the 2-0 Fulham win.
I'm just going to go with 3-0 to Fulham. Unless something comes, because I can't, like, just with Arsenal, I can't predict what's going to happen in between. I just have to go off what I have because I don't know what's going to happen. All right. Next up, we have another Sunday 7 a.m.er. We have Wolves, Gary O'Neill-less Wolves traveling to Leicester. Two hunting animals that live in the wild, the foxes versus the wolves.
This is
About ready to have a slugfest of relegation.
a huge game for these two teams. And I think Van Nistelrooy is going to have a very tough on him with, for example, a new manager bounce, interim manager, a different sort of tweak in the way Wolves will start to play. So it's going to be a huge test for Van Nistelrooy and the fellow Pockins, the Pacos out there. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
I'm going to go with Leicester winning 1-0.
Jamie Vardy,
Well, no, I
Red
think it's
Bull
because
Volley.
they have an established manager with an established way of play. And like they ran up against, I played Magic the Gathering, and you can build a deck sometimes. I used to play years ago, not this new Magic, but like old Magic, where you could have a good deck, but there are decks that could nullify your deck. And this just seems like that what happened with Leicester with Newcastle. You just went up against a deck that picked apart all your weaknesses. And I think now he's going against somebody kind of equal to him. And I think he's going to get a win. He's going to get 3 points.
I hope so, man. I'm a Van Nistelrooy believer.
Dude, I didn't know this next game was coming this early. Liverpool traveled down to North London to face Tottenham Hotspur
Wow.
in Beyonce's house.
After the thumping that Spurs gave Southampton, after the points drop from Liverpool, man.
But Southampton gave no I watched that game. They gave nothing, no resist, hardly any resistance to Spurs. Liverpool proved this weekend that they can,
Even with 10 men.
do you see Creed 2 where he's fighting the guy who killed his dad and he's training in the
Killed.
desert with his foot in a tire with that scrappy like tattooed up guy? This is what this is gonna be. And I think that like Liverpool's gonna knock Spurs out. I think it's gonna be like a 3-1.
This game's going to be huge. We've seen Spurs get up for it against the bigger teams. I think an indicator will be how their lineup is midweek if they do play Carabao Cup because. They used a different lineup. They went with Jed Spence instead of Pedro Porro. They went with Bergvall, a young player, instead of a
His team
Batuma.
looked young this weekend, this week, sorry, today. It feels like it happened in hours ago or days, but it's only been like 30 minutes.
But it was refreshing to see that sort of change up from Boss because you needed something to rejuvenate the squad and it seemed to have worked. So I'm interested to see the lineup
But
next weekend.
playing Southampton, I think it's going to give them confidence, but they also got to remember they were basically playing a practice team in Southampton, not the team that is in pole position to win the title.
I am going to go with a
Real
2-1.
Madrid. I mean, you remember the scalps they've claimed in the Champions League and in the league. I don't know if this young Spurs is able to go up against that.
I think both teams are going to score multiple goals. I'm going to go with 3-2 to Liverpool.
You know what? I'm going to follow suit, but I'm going to kick it up a notch. 4-3 to Liverpool.
Gotcha. So like the Chelsea Spurs game where it's Chelsea 4, Spurs 3.
So I don't really have any stoppage time for you, man. Do you have any for me?
No more games to cover, man. That's it.
That's it.
All right, guys, we have had a special episode, a rare, hopefully rare, virtual meeting between us, virtual podcast. But we will see you guys next weekend. We'll be in-house, hopefully. we'll see
And
how you
if you
fare.
aren't feeling good again, give me a little bit more notice like the night before. I can shift some stuff around. I can head out to you, man.
Sorry, man. Yeah,
No, if you just giving me a little bit more notice like the
no,
day, if you
that's on
like.
me, man. Because I literally like went to bed. I was like, it's fine. I'll be good tomorrow. Then I wake up and I'm just in this weird freaking pain. So that's
Okay.
on me, man. I apologize.
No, you're good. If you know something's gonna happen, just give me more notice and I can always travel out to you. We can do it old school with
Yep.
the Yeti mic you have.
I got you.
But ready to call it?
Guys, we'll see you next week. Matt, close us out.
Live long and watch some football, lads.